Hey guys, this is Steve the Scout. I am the voice of the Pro Football Scouting Podcast. Happy Friday, everyone. As promised, today I am going to be giving you my evaluations for all 32 picks of the first round, and I'm going to be giving you my best players available for round two. Now, with that being said, the Cleveland Browns had the first overall pick, and I knew several hours before that they were not going to take Sam Darnold, and they were going to take Baker Mayfield, and I'll tell you why. Charlie Casserly of the NFL Network, the former general manager for the Redskins when they won a number of their Super Bowls, said, I quote, I knew last night they were not taking Darnold number one. He said this several hours before. When he was asked, are they taking Mayfield? He basically said yes. And he said, I have very reliable sources and I trust these sources. This is coming from a former NFL GM that has connections. It wasn't a public news story, but when he said it, I knew they were taking Mayfield first. And that's what they did. Now, the question is, did Cleveland get it right by taking Mayfield first? And my answer is no. I think Baker Mayfield is the best quarterback in this draft. That's my opinion, that he is the best quarterback in this draft. However, he would have been available at number four, and I'll tell you why. Because no matter what, I believe the Jets, Sam Darnold was the quarterback the Jets were going to take. I believe wholeheartedly the Jets would take Sam Darnold over Baker Mayfield. I don't know for sure, but I believe they would take Darnold. They would take Darnold before Mayfield. With that being said, you could have taken Saquon Barkley first and still had either Darnold or Mayfield fourth overall. Now, I get maybe Darnold wasn't their guy, and their guy was Mayfield, and I understand maybe Cleveland's thought process was, you know, I want to get my quarterback, so I got to take him first overall. I get that. I just believe that he would have been available fourth overall, and you could have had Barkley, and you could have had Mayfield. And I believe that you got to take Saquon Barkley over Denzel Ward. So in my, if it was me and I was doing the draft, I would have taken Barkley first, and then, you know, and then I would have drafted Mayfield fourth if he wasn't there. But I do understand kind of Cleveland's concern to a degree. They didn't want to run any risk of their quarterback not being there. So can't be too mad at them for that. I just would have done it a little bit differently. Moving on to the second pick, the New York Giants. They took the best running back in the draft, the best player in the draft, and arguably the best running back prospect in the last, you know, 5 years or so. And I'm talking about a higher rated prospect coming out of college for me than Todd Gurley or Ezekiel Elliott. Saquon Barkley was the right pick here. The New York Giants got it right. The third pick was the Jets. They took Sam Darnold, quarterback from USC. And here's my thoughts, is that Sam Darnold is not NFL ready. I admit, and I will say that, you know, when you want to look at Sam Darnold, if you were to take the most expensive piece of clay, he's the most expensive piece of clay, where if you mold that, I believe it can be something beautiful. Sam Darnold needs work in terms of protecting the football and some mechanical things. But when you want to talk about pure upside of any quarterback, he's got the highest upside of any quarterback. He really does. Some of the stuff that I've seen him do on a lot of game tape from him, it's really damn impressive. You know, he's to me a combination of Andrew Luck and Tony Romo, with escapability and just, you know, a big body, big strong arm. I'm not mad at the Jets for doing this. They desperately need a quarterback. They can't wait to get it. So to me, you know, at this point, Sam Darnold is my second highest ranked quarterback behind Baker Mayfield. So I'm okay that the Jets took him. If they can get him in the right coaching, I believe Darnold can end up being a great player in the NFL. Moving on to Cleveland's fourth pick, they took Denzel Ward fourth overall. Denzel Ward, I think, is a great prospect, but not the player I would have taken. At this point, I would have taken Bradley Chubb over Denzel Ward for the reason that you want to complete your pass rush. You got Myles Garrett on one side. I would get Bradley Chubb on the other side. Denzel Ward, I think, is going to be still going to be a great pro. When I evaluated him, I think he's a solid player. And can't be too mad at them for that. But again, I would have done a little bit differently if I was Cleveland. Now, moving on to Denver. Denver took Bradley Chubb. Bradley Chubb, I think was a great move for Denver. Here's why. Their defense is not quite what it used to be when they won the Super Bowl. And they need to get it back to that point. So what I believe they're missing is another really dominant pass rusher. They got Von Miller. Shane Ray's coming along, but I believe Bradley Chubb is going to put them over the top and make that defense absolutely outstanding again. I like the pick here, so I like what Denver did there. The Colts to me got it absolutely right. Not to keep complimenting everyone, but the Colts got it right because they drafted Quentin Nelson. And what is the biggest problem for the Colts? It's not protecting Andrew Luck. They went ahead and they got the best offensive lineman that's been in the NFL draft in the past few years. Arguably the best player in the draft this year. Quentin Nelson is a can't-miss prospect. They got it right. If Nelson was not there, I would have suggested that they trade back the pick and get more offensive linemen. But because he was there, I think it's great they took him. The Bills traded up and got Josh Allen, the quarterback from Wyoming. I don't like the pick. You have A.J. McCarron, to be honest. I like A.J. McCarron as a quarterback better than Josh Allen. Look, I get he's got a big, strong arm, but he doesn't know how to throw the ball with varying speeds. His accuracy issues I don't think will be fixed because it's not mechanically flawed. It's just he's not accurate. So, to me, look, Josh Allen has a chance, but he's not someone that I would have drafted in the first round. I don't like the pick, Buffalo. Now, the Bears got Roquan Smith, the linebacker from Georgia. I like the pick. The Bears need a middle linebacker. They have not had a solid middle linebacker since Brian Urlacher. I believe that is something that is missing from their defense. I like the pick here, but I would have gone Tremaine Edmonds, the linebacker from Virginia Tech, because I believe he is more versatile. It can do more things, but still, Roquan Smith is a good pick there. Moving on to the 49ers, who had the 9th overall pick. The 49ers drafted offensive lineman Mike McGlinchey from Notre Dame. I have no problem with the pick. Look, overall, you're going to hear me say I don't have a problem with a lot of picks because I believe that this year in the NFL draft is going to be the first round is we're going to see the least amount of draft busts we've seen in a number of years. There are too many players that got drafted in the first round with clean tape. A lot more than usual. So I think when you go back a few years and you look at percentage of players that were busts, you're not going to see that many of them in the first round. And I really mean that. I think Mike McGlinchey is a solid player. He has solid tape. He's a guy that is technically sound. He is the best offensive tackle in this draft. You just invested a lot into your quarterback. I like the idea of protecting him, so I got no problem with the pick. Good pick up there for San Francisco. Arizona had the 10th overall pick. They traded up and got Josh Rosen. Again, I'm not mad at almost any of these teams. These teams have for the most part made good picks. The Cardinals needed a quarterback. They cannot wait longer to get one. They traded up for Josh Rosen, a great value pick there, great move for the Cardinals, and something that if I was the GM, I probably would have done as well, because although I don't think Rosen is the best quarterback in this draft, he has the potential to be the best quarterback in this draft. I do love his demeanor, I will say that, and I do believe that Rosen, there's little doubt to me that he's going to be a good NFL quarterback, so I think Arizona got it right there. Miami had the 11th overall pick, and they got a steal with Minka Fitzpatrick falling all the way to them, the safety from Alabama. A great pickup for them. I like it. Great pickup, and something that I thought was a great steal there. I personally like Derwin James just a little bit better, But, you know, it's a thin line between the two. So getting Fitzpatrick, I like that there. Now, the 12th overall pick belonged to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They got Vita Vea, the defensive tackle from Washington. Tampa Bay needs more of a pass rush. They definitely need more of a pass rush. But I also believe they still want to get help up front for the offensive line. But when you got to look at best player available and need, I like Vita Vea there a lot. He's someone that, as a defensive tackle, will collapse the pocket. He will make your pass rush better. So when you want to look at value picks, Vita Vea is one of my 10 best players available, so I do like that pick there for them. Washington got Daron Payne, defensive tackle from Alabama. Daron Payne is going to be very tough to run the ball against. If you look at his senior year and even tape before that, this guy is very, very stout against the run. I think he's going to have a good career. But for me, it was a little bit of a reach. There were some other players there that I would have liked to see Washington go after. To be honest, you know, I would have liked to see them get, you know, Tremaine Edmonds at this point, because he is someone that I believe could end up being possibly the best player in the entire draft at any position. Tremaine Edmonds' upside is ridiculous. And I just think at this point, he should have been drafted. So I like Daron Payne, but I would have gone Tremaine Edmonds there. The Saints moved up to get Marcus Davenport. That was the 14th overall pick. And I'll say that, you know, Davenport to me, he's not a finished product. He's very raw. And when I watched him at the Senior Bowl, and other game tape, it just looks like when he goes against higher level of competition, because he's so raw, he is, you know, he's not going to, he's definitely going to have a learning curve. Now, when you want to talk about just raw, natural, athletic, freakish ability, it's ridiculous. You know, if you can think of guys like Jadeveon Clowney, Ezekiel Ansah, you know, there's other guys, you know, even Chandler Jones, that the ability is just so ridiculous that you gotta think that they're going to figure it out. The same thing with Marcus Davenport. If he gets the right coaching, he can become an absolute dominant pass rusher, potentially the best pass rusher in this draft. He's just not NFL ready like Bradley Chubb. He's got a lot to work on. Again, going back to his senior tape, he just seems that when he goes against higher level of competition, you know, he doesn't have enough in his arsenal, but he's going to have to be coached up. So moving on to number 15, the Raiders got offensive lineman Colton Miller from UCLA. I would have gone Connor Williams here. I believe Connor Williams has shown me more than Colton Miller has. I believe he's a clear prospect. I like that the Raiders went for offensive tackle here. John Gruden knows that they need to protect Derek Carr. That's been an issue. Colton Miller has a ridiculous upside, but to me, I just would have gone Connor Williams here with my pick. So pick number 16 belongs to the Buffalo Bills, and they selected a home run pick, possibly one of the best value picks of the entire first round, and that is linebacker Tremaine Edmonds from Virginia Tech. I'm telling you, Edmonds is versatile. He can come in right away and probably make a Pro Bowl within 2 years at the middle linebacker position. And if you line him up on the edge, he can probably get double-digit sacks his rookie year. He's ridiculous. I'm telling you, watch out for Tremaine Edmonds. This guy offers versatility as a linebacker / D end that I don't know if I've ever seen. I mean, literally, he can play any position in the front seven except for defensive tackle and be ridiculous at it. I can't tell you how many plays he's blown up behind the line of scrimmage. I just think Tremaine Edmonds is going to be a tremendous player and someone who, if he lives up to his potential, can also be a first ballot Hall of Famer. This is a special player. All right, going pick 17 through 32. The Los Angeles Chargers. I almost said San Diego Chargers. Still feels weird saying it. But the Los Angeles Chargers selected Derwin James, safety from Florida State. In my opinion, the best defensive player in the whole damn draft went pick number 17. The tape on James is just ridiculous. He is the best blitzing safety I've evaluated in the last 5 years. You want to talk about versatility? A guy that can play any position in the secondary, just like Minka Fitzpatrick, and someone that can play middle and outside linebacker, and probably the best run-stuffing, blitzing safety I've watched on college in years. Derwin James, to me, is the best defensive player in the draft. He's right up there in terms of talent-wise with other guys like Bradley Chubb, but I just believe James really is the best defensive player in the draft, and the Chargers got an absolute steal getting him number 17. 18, the pick was made by the Green Bay Packers, and they got Jair Alexander, cornerback from Louisville. Jair Alexander is underrated, in my opinion. He was not ranked as high on as he should have been. He, to me, is someone that's going to be a good pro. However, you must fix your damn offense. Aaron Rodgers is going to keep getting hurt if you do not put more good offensive linemen there. At this point, I would have liked to see them get a big mauler, a guy like Will Hernandez. That's who I would have taken. I would have taken someone to help fix the offensive line. You could have gotten Will Hernandez or Connor Williams. When you want to look at positional need, I think the Packers need to focus on that. You want to try to keep your quarterback healthy. I believe you still need to add pieces on the offensive line. Jair Alexander, I love him, but I also do like Mike Hughes better. So although Alexander is a good player to me, I evaluated him highly, it's not the player that I would have taken there. At 19, the Cowboys picked Leighton Vander Esch, another player who I have evaluated and think is going to be a solid pro. He has sideline to sideline range as an inside linebacker. He's terrific against coverage. So I like the pick there for Dallas. If it was me, I do think that when you want to look at quality of player, there are going to be some really good. There's some good wide receivers that value wise would have made sense there. I believe they want to look at why they should have looked at wide receiver. They really need that. But Leighton Vander Esch again gives you tons of versatility in terms of an inside linebacker with sideline to sideline range, as well as a guy that you can drop back in coverage. True athlete. So I like the pick, but I don't love it. Pick number 20, the Detroit Lions took Frank Ragnow, the center from Arkansas. Frank Ragnow, to me, when you want to look at pure production and just as a pure center, might be the best center in the entire draft. When you break down, Frank Ragnow went 20th, Billy Price went 21st, and to me, Frank Ragnow is definitely a step ahead of him. Frank Ragnow, in something like 500 snaps, I think he only had like one pressure, and he went against really good competition. The reason why he wasn't looked at even more is because he was injured a lot of his senior year, but I believe, arguably, they got the best center in the entire draft, and Frank Ragnow, the Lions did. Now, if I was the Lions, I love Frank Ragnow, but I would have gone after either Ronald Jones, Sonny Michel, or Darius Geis here. I believe the Lions desperately want to get a running back in there. It will add another dimension to their offense they don't have. Frank Ragnow, definitely worth a first-round pick. At pick number 20, however, I would have gone running back because that's where I think they need it the most. Looking at the Cincinnati Bengals, they also need a guy that has versatility that can play center or guard. I believe that is the area that the Bengals really wanted to focus on. At this point, there's two players I would have looked at, Billy Price or James Daniels. I would have gone James Daniels. But I think that the reason why they went with Billy Price, if I had a guess, is that he just has a little more versatility and he has more experience playing the different positions on the interior offensive line. Daniels did as well, but you got to remember with Price, he played literally one season at right guard, left guard, and center at Ohio State. So he's someone that I think it was a good pick there. I'm not going to say it was the steal of the first round, but a good solid pick and a guy who I think will be a good solid player for Cincinnati. The Tennessee Titans, they drafted inside linebacker Rashawn Evans. another player. I think he's a good player. I think he's going to be a good pro. But again, you need to protect your quarterback. There, you know, you have Taylor Lewan, great guy, great player. But I believe you still want to get more stout on the interior part of the offensive line. I would have looked at an interior lineman here. They do need help on the defensive side of the ball. So, you know, Rashawn Evans, you know, I'm not mad at the pick. I just would have gone a little bit differently if I were them. Now, the 23rd pick belonged to the New England Patriots. And they took Isaiah Wynn, the offensive tackle from Georgia. Here's why I think this is such a good pick for New England. Because the problem with Isaiah Wynn is that, you know, he's about six foot two and a half, maybe 6 foot three at the most. And a lot of people want to play, a lot of people don't know whether he should be playing at tackle or he should be playing at guard. But he's kind of an in-betweener. And what I think New England is really good at is figuring out what a player is best at and then giving him responsibilities to that will best match up with his skill sets. And Isaiah Wynn, when you want to talk about a guy that just is a great offensive lineman, forget guard or tackle. He is a great offensive lineman, and I believe his best position for him will be guard. I really like the fact that he went to New England, because I think this guy is a steal, honestly, at pick number 23. And Bill Belichick, they're gonna find and figure out the right way to use this guy. So I like the pick there for New England. He is a guy that gives you versatility, but ultimately he needs to go to a team that knows how to use him best. And there's no team that knows how to use personnel better than the Patriots. That is a fact. Pick number 24, I believe they got perhaps a young Steve Smith in there. You know, you got to hope for it. I mean, obviously that's pretty lofty comparison, but DJ Moore gives them an element at the wide receiver position they did not have before. Moore is a little bit raw, but his upside is tremendous. When you look at his route running, his toughness, being able to track the ball, love DJ Moore as a player. I think he's someone that will probably be a solid pro. He's certainly not the safest of all the wide receivers there, but you know, I do like that pick there. I think it was a good pick for them. 25th, I said the Baltimore Ravens have to draft a tight end. They, you know, I said the Ravens need this. They need a tight end, and they need Joe Flacco's replacement, and they need someone who's different from Flacco, and they did that. They got Hayden Hurst here, the best tight end in the draft. If I remember correctly, when I was saying who should the Ravens draft a few days ago, I said it should be Hayden Hurst. So they got it right there. They got the best tight end in the draft, a guy that's NFL ready, and someone that can help them out right away. The 26th pick belonged to the Atlanta Falcons, and they took Calvin Ridley here. A bit of an interesting one, because you already got Julio Jones. I don't think wide receiver is necessarily the position that they needed. I think there are some other holes they can fill, but you gotta love, you know, their versatility now with having, you know, Julio Jones and having Calvin Ridley on the other side. If Hayden Hurst was there, I would have taken him over Calvin Ridley, but he went pick number 25, so he wasn't there. But I'm not mad at the pick. I think there's some other holes they could have filled, but pairing Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones, that's going to be something that's fun to watch. Now, the 27th pick belonged to the Seattle Seahawks. It belonged to Rashad Penny. Rashad Penny, to me, has a tremendous upside. When you want to look at production on the college level, he had better production than anyone else. Yes, he did not go against the best talent. But to me, he is an explosive guy. His legs, he might have the fastest like feet and legs of any player like in the draft. When you want to look at just how hard does he run, I mean, he runs with some serious aggression and tenacity. He's got good first, second, and third level vision. The Seattle Seahawks, they definitely need to get another running back in there. I probably would have gone with Darius Geis here, or maybe, you know, Ronald Jones or Sonny Michel before Rashad Penny. I still think, Look, I had Rashad Penny as one of my biggest draft steals. I just didn't think he was going to go until maybe the third round. But look, Seattle, they fell in love with the running back. They made their evaluation. That's the player they wanted to go with. I love Rashad Penny. I think he brings a crap ton to the table, has a great upside. I just may have taken him a little bit later. But, you know, it is what it is. They needed a running back, and they took the one that they wanted. Pick number 28 belonged to the Pittsburgh Steelers. They took Tremaine Edmonds' younger brother, twin brother Trey. Great player, just not the one that I would have drafted there. I believe at this point, you know, they could have, you know, there's other holes that they needed to fill. I think Trey Edmonds is a great player, just not someone that I would have drafted in the end of the first round, just for me personally. What else could the Steelers done? I mean, look, the Steelers, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, they have a complete roster. I would have liked to see them here get Mike Hughes, the cornerback. I would have liked to see them even go after someone like Jesse Bates. I would have taken Mike Hughes and Jesse Bates before Trey Edmonds. They do need some help on that back end part of the defense. Trey Edmonds, I think, is good. I just would have gone a little bit of a different direction there. Pick number 29 was made by the Jacksonville Jaguars. They selected Taven Bryan, the defensive tackle from Florida. His upside as a pass rusher is pretty ridiculous. You know, Jacksonville has had a knack for drafting players with ridiculous upside. My problem with Bryan is that he has not been solid against the run game. He plays with a high pad level. He's got a bit to work on. He's not NFL ready. But as a disruptive defensive tackle, pass rusher on the inside, his upside's outrageous. It certainly is. And pick number 30 was the biggest steal of the first round. The biggest steal of the first round, because I believe the Minnesota Vikings got the best cornerback in the entire draft, Mike Hughes from UCF. When you want to look at Mike Hughes, he only played a year. There's not that much tape on him, but I believe he's NFL ready and he can come in right away and be dominant. They got Trey Wayans back there and they got Xavier Rhodes. They may want to stick Mike Hughes in the slot. I just believe that Hughes can be, honestly, as good as those guys are, he can be the best cornerback on that team. This is a special player who got undervalued through the entire draft process. And congratulations, Minnesota. You got the steal of the first round. Pick number 31 was another major draft steal. Sonny Michel, the running back from Georgia, is a can't-miss prospect. I had 10 players that were can't-miss prospects. He was one of them. They got a running back who I believe he, when you want to look at compare Sonny Michel and Nick Chubb, Sonny Michel is the better running back to me. A tremendous running back who plays the game the way it should be played. He's tough, he's physical, great vision, not afraid of contact, and just, you know, to me, as someone that can do it all, may not be the home run hitter that some of these other guys are, but he's still got great top speed, and I think a guy that New England's going to make great use of and will be a solid, solid running back in the NFL, someone who can be in conversation for NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year. Pick number 32 was genius. And, you know, I said pick number 30 was the steal of the first round. 32 may compete with that. The Baltimore Ravens offense, I just got to say, I know they won a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco, but he's not taking them anywhere right now. He's just Joe Flacco, in my opinion, at this point, should go to a different team that needs a quarterback. I get he's been a solid pro, but I think they want to look in a different direction. They want to change the style of their offense. And, you know, Lamar Jackson is perfect to sit behind Joe Flacco for a few years. Lamar Jackson can sit behind Joe Flacco. He can get the coaching he needs. As I mentioned many times, I think Jackson's issues with accuracy and mechanics can be cleaned up because it stems from him playing with a narrow base. He gets the right coaching staff. He fixes that. He sits behind Baltimore, sits behind Joe Flacco. And, you know, in 2 years, you know, I believe this guy, you know, can come on the field and really, really be a great NFL quarterback. Michael Vick 2.0 potentially. I like what the Ravens did here. They got They did the two things that I thought they needed to do. They got a dominant tight end who is worth the 25th overall pick, and you got your quarterback of the future and someone that you can groom behind Joe Flacco for a few years. Okay, so now let's look at the best players that are still available. I'm going by my big board right now, and I'm going to tell you where I rank these players, and these are the best players that are still available. I had 11th overall defensive tackle Maurice Hurst from Michigan. He did not get drafted because there's a concern with a heart condition. But goddamn, Maurice Hurst is an absolute beast and can end up being the best defensive tackle, maybe even the best defensive lineman in this draft. But because of, you know, something going on with his heart, team stayed away from him. But I just believe that Maurice Hurst is the best prospect that is available in round two. Now, a very, very, very close second is my 12th overall prospect on my big board. So on my big board, I have Maurice Hurst as my 11th best player. My 12th best player has also not been drafted, and that is running back Ronald Jones from USC, a guy that I believe is the second best running back in this draft. He should have been drafted by now. Why he wasn't, I'll just say teams are stupid. That's all I'll say. There's no way this guy should have slipped to the second round. Now, the third player, now James Daniels, I have at number 14. So I got, again, I got Hurst as my 11th best player, Jones as my 12th best player in the whole draft, and my 14th best player of the draft still has not been drafted, and that is James Daniels, the offensive guard / center from Iowa. He in my opinion, it's close with him and Frank Ragnow, but I just think when you want to look at interior offensive linemen, James Daniels is the best in this draft after Quentin Nelson. There's a lot of good guys up there, but when you want to talk about athleticism on the offensive line, you know, James Daniels to me is a clean prospect to evaluate. There's no way he should have slipped out of the first round. Now, continuing on that, who else has not been drafted? My 19th best player has not been drafted. Will Hernandez, the offensive guard. I believe the New York Giants are in a prime position to pick him. They're picking 34th overall. They have the second pick of the second round. You still need help on the interior part of the offensive line. I believe that Will Hernandez is a player that they could be looking at there for sure. My 20th best prospect, Jesse Bates from Wake Forest, did not go in the first round. After Fitzpatrick and James, this is the best safety in the draft, and someone who I think is a pretty damn clean prospect to evaluate. Jesse Bates, my 20th best player, has not been drafted. Darius Geis, my 22nd best player, the running back from LSU, who's a bruiser and a complete running back, has not been drafted and should have been drafted. Who else hasn't been drafted? You know, going down the list, I'm seeing now a lot of these players have been drafted. Ronnie Harrison, the safety from Alabama, my 4th best safety in the draft after Jesse Bates. He has not been drafted. Another safety that's not been, and again, we're deep on safeties this year. We got a number of them. Justin Reed, the younger brother from Eric Reed from Stanford, has not been drafted. Also, my 35th pick, Connor Williams, the offensive tackle from Texas. He has not been drafted, and in IMO, he's the second best offensive tackle in this draft behind Mike McGlinchey. Other guys that I really, really like, you know, Dalton Schultz, I told you, he is, in my opinion, going to be one of the biggest steals, but steals of the draft, I don't think he's going to go in the second round, but you still got guys like Christian Kirk, a quality wide receiver who you can look at. You got Dallas Goedert. So, yeah, there are still some players there that teams can look at. You know, we're definitely still pretty deep in terms of interior offensive linemen and the safety position. And we still got a guy like Connor Williams there who I think is the second best tackle in the draft. So, look, round one's over, but round two to me is still very exciting. You still can get players that can completely change the dynamic of your team. So tonight is round two. Tomorrow morning, I am going to give you another show. I'm going to break down my evaluations of round two, and not something I typically do on the weekend. I typically don't record new episodes on the weekend, but we'll do this weekend because it's very much to me like a national holiday. I am excited for round two tonight. I will talk to you guys tomorrow morning, Saturday. You guys have a great Friday. Enjoy the draft. We'll see you soon.